The Faculty of Arts, I kind of think of as the heart of the university. It's not just in terms of where it's located physically, but we're a large part of the life of the campus. There are about 7,000 students in various programs in the faculty. We number almost 300 faculty members. And we are supported as well by individuals you'll get to know along the way in your period here who will provide advice and guidance for you. It's an internationally known faculty. It's going to be a good degree to have when you exit the university experience. Canada is, of course, a place where McGill has deep roots, but it also has a well-known international brand. And one very important aspect of the faculty is its diversity. And it's not just students, but all of you are drawn from various parts of Canada and much further around the world. Its faculty is also very diverse, drawn, again, internationally. And our faculty are elite faculty. And I think that's one thing that distinguishes McGill from many other universities around the world. We pride ourselves on the quality of the education we give you as undergraduate students. Our faculty members are dedicated and excellent teachers, but they all have well-known, established records of research, and many are internationally known for the work that they do. So what we provide to you, I think, is a rich learning environment that's organized around the life of the classroom, but you'll learn today other aspects of life at McGill that take you beyond the classroom. You'll learn about the possibility of exchange programs, internships of various kinds, opportunities to do research with faculty members on faculty member professorial research projects. And aside from that kind of academic experience, of course, McGill has a very rich social life for students in terms of extracurricular activities, various kinds of associations and groups. So I hope when you come to McGill and you know continue now that you take advantage of all the opportunities. It's not just the classroom experience, although it is the classroom experience, of course, that's going to organize a lot of your time in your life here in the Faculty of Arts. So please take advantage of your time here. And when you leave in 3 or 4 years, as the case may be, I hope you leave with fond memories and friends that you've made over the course of your period here in the Faculty of Arts. Thank you.
Okay, hi. Just before I start just talking up here, we also have another room that they're actually watching this video. And can we just give them an applaud because they're there in another room watching the video just to thank them. So they're at Leacock 26. Let's just give them a clap. We're just being good sports, okay? Brandy, Brandy's in there as well, so let's give her an applause as well. She's from our office. Now, Arts Oasis. Now, it really just stands for the Office of Advising and Student Information Services. We're an advising office. So really, when you want to think about advising, you think about OASIS, right? Now, our role and actually our mandate, and which is the mandate of our Associate Dean of Arts, who's sitting right over there, Dr. Locke. Let's give her an applause. Is degree planning. And her mandate is really for you to understand this. And what we have on our homepage, can you all hear me? Because I feel like the microphone's not that good, but that's okay. And she wants you to understand that degree planning is something that you need to take a hold, understand all the rules and regulations. And on our website, we do have that information and a worksheet. So we want you to start planning it out, understanding what a major is, how many credits it is, looking into prerequisites. But of course, when you're making a plan, it changes. So remember that your degree is flexible and it could change. So just because right now you're all shopping around for courses doesn't necessarily mean you have the right courses, right? Things are going to change. And that's what we want you to get used to. Now, our role is really to help you through this whole process of planning out your degree, from your transition. In some cases, you're from high school. In some cases, you're from CGIP. It's a big transition. So it's our role is to help you come in, help you plan out your degree, talk about course load issues, talk about what major you want to do, talk about if you're working outside the classroom, how to balance that, and then introduce you to other resources on campus and opportunities that you can use. Now, the role of the types of advising we have in the Faculty of Arts are, for one, faculty advisors. Like I introduced myself, I'm a faculty advisor, and we are four. The other three faculty advisors are located at Dawson Hall. They are dealing right now with returning students. So you're the incoming class. I'm here today, but they're at Dawson Hall right now dealing with our returning students. Our team is Ruth, Ines, Milena, and me, Nellie. We also have advisors, and they work at the counter, and they're more specialized in the sense that some of them have experience in Study Away, and that's Ann Noodle. We have a freshman advisor, that's Monica Hodder, who's over there at the corner. Say hi to her, she's waving. We also have Dimitra Palvunis, and her role is really to assist the associate dean with decisions that she needs to make, as well as helps the associate dean with disciplinary cases, which you probably won't need to do, but just letting you know what she does. And we also have Brandy, who's in the other room, and she does career planning. So these are the advisors, and they do frontline advising. So during this time of the year, when you come to Dawson Hall with your question, that's where you're going to go, and these are the people that you'll probably meet. Now, my favorite type of advising is because I run the program is our peer advisors, and they're called the ASAPs, the Art Student Advising Program. And they're hired. They work in our office all year round. They're there to help students with their questions. They've been hired and selected only because we actually have picked them, and we know that they genuinely want to help students. During the summertime, they answered phone calls, emails, and chats, and they worked at the counter. Right now at Dawson Hall, because we're busy, they are working behind the scene, but because they're frontline, they're also triaging the lines to ask you if you're in the right place. In most cases, a lot of students do come to Dawson Hall with questions, so they're probably going to direct you to the right place. So if you really are not sure if you're at the right place, just look for the red shirt. At the back, it says ASAP, okay? Let's hope I get this slide. Got it, good. Okay. Now, where are we located? We're all familiar with the Arts Building, right? If you're coming from McGill College straight down, you'll see it. It's the center building with the flag. Dawson Hall is on the left-hand side. Everyone thinks it's the Arts Building that's the oldest building on campus, but actually it's Dawson Hall. But if you just enter Dawson Hall, the first floor, you'll see a counter, and that's where we're located. And that's where you can see an advisor, a faculty advisor, during their drop-in hours. We don't designate advisors to students. We just don't have the manpower. But you are able to see somebody during drop-in. If not, again, during busy times, we do have advisors on the counter that can do a lot of the prescriptive advising and help you through. You can also contact us. You don't need to come in and see us at the counter. You can call us. The information's on our website. You can email us. You can send a chat, and one of our ASAPs will answer it, and our hours are 10 to 4. I think I've covered all the contact information. I'm going to try to go to the next slide. Now, in early summer, you all received to your preferred email an attachment of the guide for new students. This guide was designed by a student, Isla Astron. Let's give her a clap. She worked all summer on it. Well, she worked all May on it, and all summer she was organizing Discover McGill and CSI. And it really tells you from a student's perspective about what you needed to know before you came to McGill, about registration, advising, and orientation. So everything you need to know, even the rules and the regulations, the major, the minor concentration, even about how your schedule will look, is in this attachment. So please read it. It's also, you can find it on the OASIS website, okay? I think it's a great tool. Tomorrow, It's the Arts Departmental Advising Fair. Now, for freshman students, you are all going to be having your courses approved by our office. However, you're not sure, but this is a good event to go just to see, visit different departments, get information, in some cases talk to a professional advisor, in some cases talk to a representative from a student association or a professor about their programs. Our associate dean, Dr. Locke, is going to be talking more about showcasing some of the programs we're going to have there tomorrow. So I think it's a good idea for you to go. Now, for the U1 students, I do know that a lot of the departments have their own information sessions, but they are going to be there tomorrow again to talk to you. So remember, it's going to be one stop for you for 2 hours from 1 to 3 just to go and talk to somebody. So please attend. It's at the Smoo Building, third floor, 1 to 3. Okay, sorry, got it wrong. Okay. Don't forget, I know it was mentioned this morning, but Friday is a Monday schedule. So when you wake up to go to class on Friday, treat it as a Monday, because Monday is a Labor Day, right? So we needed to make up that day. So this Friday, it's a Monday, and then when you have Labor Day weekend, you can follow Tuesday's class, okay? Did it again. Okay. So I think that's it. I just want to welcome everybody. Congratulations. I did also graduate from McGill a few years ago. My sister just told me it was really a long time ago. I don't like to think about it, how long it was. Yes, things have changed, but I do know that the first week and a half, maybe the two first weeks, is a bit overwhelming, but I can assure you that things are going to get easier. You're going to find your right classes. You're going to get into the groove, we used to say, and things will get better. The trick is just to ask questions and to use all the resources, and your first stop will be Dawson Hall. Thank you. Isla, come and take over.
Too short. Thank you, Nellie. That was really great. She's an angel, so if you have any questions or concerns, go to Dawson Hall and see Nellie. So for the next part of our presentation, we're going to invite the student panelists up to talk about some opportunities outside of the classroom. We have Antoine from Arts Internships. We have Tiger from the Arts Research Internship Award. And we have Beth from Field Studies and Demi from Study Away.
Okay, so hi everyone. I'm Antoine. I'm from the Arts Internship Office. I'm actually the coordinator. I was also once a student in Poli-Sci and International Development Studies, and I'm here to talk to you about internship opportunities and what they mean to you and how we at the Arts Internship Office can help you. So first of all, what is an internship? It's a small professional experience that you can do usually during the summer for 2 or 3 months in the field of your choice, so your field of study. Some people will take an internship in order to find out what they want to do later with their degree, so others to try out a job and see if they like it, or just to live a great experience and get some work experience in either a country that they've always wanted to visit and work in, or a field that they're really interested in. I did my internship in my second year of study, and I was working in a shantytown NGO in Peru doing some educational work. And I did that for 3 months. I was able to get an arts internship award, which helped fund and allowed me to kind of just focus on my work and not worry about the finances. And then when I came back, I was able to get credit. So I'm going to be talking to you all about how you can get an internship and what we can do to help you find the best opportunity for you. So first of all, internships are for everyone at any stage. Usually people wait until the second year because they're more aware of what they're interested in. You can start in anthropology, then you get interested in food security, then you say, I want to work in the food security in Western Africa, and you find an internship in that region. But I've had some students do incredible internships right off the bat on their first year. So if you have an idea for your own internship, you can come and see us, and we can discuss the opportunities of what we can find for you or just help you get there. Or we have many internships that we offer each year with partners around the world that you can sign up for and apply to. Also, internships are for everyone because they're for every variety of student in arts. So I've had interns do internships in Sweden with Vice Magazine, finance internships in banks in Shanghai, or the World Food Program with the UN in Panama. It's really around the world in whatever field you're interested in. We can find something for you, and we can also help you find maybe a student that already did the experience. They can hook you up, and you can maybe join the internship they did, or they can give you advice on the place you're about to go. What's important is to get started and come visit us. We're on the third floor of Leacock, and we have drop-in from 2 to 4 every day. We're also going to have an annual event on September 17th where you can meet everyone coming back from their internships in the summer, ask them questions, and find out more. So you can come and see me, make an appointment. We can discuss the opportunities that are available to you, or if you already have an idea, I can help you get there. And you have to think about the fact that we offer awards. So every year, we give out awards to students doing internships. This year, we gave out over 100 awards. And it's really for you to make your dreams and internship opportunities possible. If you're thinking, I want to go to Indonesia in this specific area, but I don't know if I can afford not to work during the summer, or the plane tickets are really expensive, these awards help cover all the costs related to your internship so you can focus on your work. There's also the opportunity to get credit for an internship. So that's a bit more complex. We can explain it more when you meet me. However, the concept is you're going to be doing a research paper with a professor when you come back from your internship. I had a chance to work with Professor Oxhorn, who's here in the room, and it allowed me to focus more on what I was learning when I was working. You know, the internships are a great chance to get some field experience, to learn so much about what you saw in the classroom. All the theory you're learning, you can apply it, but you're so busy. Every day I was working on something, I had activities or presentations. When I got back, I wanted to focus more on the whole concept of everything I'd learned, take the time to write about it, and I was able to get close to a professor and work on some research. Finally, you'll be able to do some programs with our sister office, the Internship Offices Network. They offer really elite type of internships, so with OECD, the World Food Program, the UN. So when you've gained some experience during one internship, you can apply to another one, and you're able to get awards and credit maybe even twice. So just don't forget to come and see us. I'll be at the fair as well. Any question is good. Whether you have experience or not, you can get started. We'll show you all the opportunities you can do to get some real world experience around the world. And then finally, we have another program, which is the research internship, working closer with the professor. That's a program called ARIA, and I'm going to pass the microphone to a student called Tiger Zeng, who did the ARIA program 2 years ago now.
Hey, guys. Sorry, mics are not my forte. So my name's Tiger. I'm going into my fifth year in philosophy, and 2 years ago, I did the ARIA. I'm still working, actually, with a professor, Professor Kimmelman, over at the Biomedical Ethics Unit. So I just want to tell you a bit about my experience with the ARIA and actually the Arts Undergraduate Research Event as well. I'm sure colleagues are going to tell you great stories, but trust me, seeing in Montreal is pretty fantastic as well. Promise it'll be fun. So I actually, 3 years ago, I actually started off working at the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto. I actually wish I'd heard of the Arts Internship Office then, because it turns out I could have gotten funded for that. I did not. But I ended up presenting at the poster event annually in about February or so. We have something called the Arts Undergraduate Research Event, where you can present a photo. And I learned about the AIO through that and applied for the Arts Research Internship Award and did that summer. Now, it seems like you're really just doing more classes, but there are a lot of things that you will get only from the ARIA. So, for example, I think the biggest thing for me personally was the fact that it does kind of open the doors to academia. I don't know if there's anyone here who wants to do something super academic, like super theoretical, but me personally, I wanted to do moral philosophy. So, of course, my parents were like, well, really? You're going to do that? That's like, there's no jobs in that ever. And so the nice thing about the ARIA was to get, like, first of all, to see if I actually could do something like that, to see what the experience of doing academic research is like, but also to say, like, no, it's a tangible goal, I promise. But you learn a ton of stuff, and I think the best part about ARIA is that since you're working with a professor who's local, it ends up opening the doors to a lot of things. So, like Antoine said, I did my internship actually 2 summers ago, but after that they've kept me employed. Any other day I would say I just walked down from my office, but my laptop's broken, so I haven't done that. So that'd be a lie. So. But like, I have an office on campus. Right now, I've actually done a lot of research projects with UNIT in general, which actually really helped me get into a master's program, which I'll be going to following year. You learn a ton of skills. Like, in arts, I don't really do statistics, although I'm sure if you do like sociology, probably need that a lot more, but that's something that I would not have had the exposure to, right? So if academia is something that you're interested in, if you really want to get paid to learn, and if you want super flexible working hours, and off the record, I may or may not have done some work at a bar on a Friday night, the ARG is certainly something you absolutely want to look into. But yeah, it's my experience.
Hi, everyone. So my name is Beth Ludenberger. I'm currently entering my fourth and final year as an undergraduate at McGill. I'm studying a major in sociology, and I'm doing my minors in Indigenous studies, political theory, and women's studies. So during this year, I decided to apply and enroll for IDFC 500. It's an Aboriginal field studies course, and it was offered by the McGill Faculty of Arts. It's also interdisciplinary, so it's open to students in Indigenous studies, anthropology, social work, medicine, and law. I decided to take the course because it would count towards my minor, but also because I felt as though studying in the field would broaden my worldviews and the way I approach thinking about issues. So the Aboriginal Field Studies course is an intensive course occurring in May. It's designed to emphasize the interaction of multidisciplinary approaches to understanding Indigenous knowledges, cultures, histories, and worldviews, as well as the way in which Canadian policies have historically and contemporarily affected Aboriginal societies. So the class spent a total of 3 weeks on McGill campus for sessions for literature review, briefing, and debriefing sessions. And then we spent 1 week camping on Ganawage, Mohawk territory, which is an Indigenous reserve right off the island of Montreal. So during the week of field study, as a class, we camped out on Ganawage, and members of the community came to us, and they shared their knowledge and experiences. In addition, we also visited several different services in the community, like the hospital, the peacekeepers, which serves sort of as a police station, et cetera, in order to talk about the approaches that varying community members take to the services they provide. So, for example, the challenges inherent in bridging like a gap between modern and traditional ways, as well as like the question of sovereignty in their services. So in terms of what I gained from the field studies experience, I found that by studying and interacting with individuals in the field, I was able to gain a deeper understanding of the historical and cultural significance of certain traditions and customs held by the Ganyangahaga, or the Mohawk people. My experience studying in the field helped me take all my knowledge that I had gained from the classroom in an academic background at McGill and apply it and connect it to real-life experiences of Indigenous peoples in North America. One major example of this for my field studies was talking with the residents of Ganawage about their experiences with the Oka crisis in 1990, many of which it directly affected, and the tensions surrounding that, which was really profound. So overall, I believe there's value in different kinds of academic experiences, and reading or learning about them in a classroom is a lot different from being able to see and feel those experiences firsthand or being able to talk to someone who has done so. I really would recommend field studies. They not only serve as a valuable study opportunity, but they allow individuals to take their concepts that they've explored in the classroom and apply them to real-world environments, which emphasizes the connection between ideas and practical realities, which you'll all have to deal with when you leave McGill and go into the workforce. So I think in general they promote a deeper understanding. So if anyone really finds the opportunity to do field studies, I really recommend it. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Demi. I'm a U4 student entering my last semester in psychology and anthropology. I'm going to be talking about independent study away and exchanges. An independent study away is an opportunity to study away at any university around the world while paying their tuition fees and earning credit at McGill. An exchange is to study away amongst McGill's partners' universities while paying McGill tuition and earning credits at McGill. Choosing to go abroad can be either one or two semesters long. The opportunity to experience a trip where one dives into a new way of life is such a special gift that undergraduate students are offered. I took this wonderful opportunity in my U2 winter semester to go on exchange at the University of Melbourne in Australia. Although I could spend the whole day talking with you about my trip, I want to instead share with you all the common things that students who go abroad achieve. Within each unique experience, going abroad is a process of stepping out of your comfort zone to encounter and undergo a new culture, a new way of doing things, a new way of learning, a new way of thinking, and most importantly, a new way of being. To be taught at a different university allows a deeper appreciation and new perspectives on your fields of study, your teachers, and your educational curriculum. To explore in a different country allows you to find out about new interests, to meet new people, and to make lifelong friends from various places around the world. Allowing yourself to take and accept such a challenge to study abroad brings forth a deep personal growth which remains with you and which enhances your skills of being a well-rounded citizen of our globalized society. If you're ready to take the leap, be attentive and proactive to all the resources McGill has to offer. Don't be scared to ask questions and don't be shy to reach out and connect with your fellow McGillians. These were my first steps to successfully completing my semester abroad and achieving a greatly cherished and valued experience of a lifetime. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you, everyone. I don't think we have time for questions, but you can just give them a round of applause. We just did that, but that's okay. And next up, I'd like to invite our professor panelists. They're going to be speaking on the value of a BA degree. So first up, we have Professor Lucy Locke.
Hey, how's everybody doing? How's your energy level? Woo! Come on. I want to hear it louder. Are you awake? No, louder. More. Keep it coming. Much better. Jeez, I thought you guys were asleep at the beginning. All right. My name is Lucy Locke. I'm the Associate Dean in the Faculty of Arts, and I'm an Associate Professor in the School of Social Work. I study childhood disabilities. And my interest wasn't planned in kids with disabilities. Like most things in life, I stumbled across it. And the way in which I stumbled across it is I took a chance, much like you've just heard from the student panelists. I took a chance. I met a professor, and he said, geez, I'm looking for a student to do some work. And I went, great. And I started working for him. And the project that I was working on was, you know, something to do with computers and human service organizations and the future of computers and human service organizations. So that kind of dates me, but it was a tremendous opportunity. So I guess my message to you is that you will encounter some forks in the road and some opportunities during your time here. The problem with forks in the road is sometimes you don't really realize you've gone through a fork until you look over your shoulder. But I really wasn't looking for forks, but I encourage you to look for forks because those forks are actually, they're quite profound. As the associate dean here, it's also, I wanted to say to you that a BA degree, like, you know when your parents said to you, or your parents' friends said to you, so what are you going to do after high school? And you're like, I think I'm going to go to university. Well, now that you're here, those same people are going to say to you, so what are you going to do after university? And my message to you is really, it's okay not to know. In fact, you should not know. Because that way you will remain open to the various forks in the road as you stumble across them and see them and take a chance. You will learn things about yourself. You will learn about what you value, what you think. You're going to get into arguments with people. You're going to learn about yourself. And you're going to learn how you work, how to meet deadlines, how to think critically. You can't even imagine the things that you're going to learn, but you will, at the end of this, come out saying, wow, that was a tremendous journey. Faculty of Arts is actually a tremendous playground. You'll be taught by professors who are renowned in their fields internationally. Spend some time digging around our OASIS website. to look at the various programs that we have. Like, we have the traditional social science and humanities programs, but there also are some hidden gems that I want to actually draw your attention to. So if you're looking for a smaller class size, you're not going to find it in political science. Sorry, Phil. you're going to find it in some of these more hidden gems. African studies, Quebec studies, Catholic studies, Jewish studies, history and philosophy of science. Now, if somebody told me history and philosophy, I love theory. That is an incredible program. Latin American studies, social studies of medicine. You can study languages, Urdu, Turkish, Persian, Arabic, German, Italian, Russian, Spanish, French, Japanese, Chinese. We even have three professional programs here, like you graduate with a profession. One is social work. The second one is industrial relations. And the third one is actually a graduate program, but it's this is in the School of Information Studies. And we have some new programs, our new program coming on board, that's medieval studies. Somebody mentioned indigenous studies. So for those of you who are interested in, whose interests are broader than the traditional kind of disciplines like anthropology, sociology, history, or English, check these out. There's also opportunities in other faculties. You can do a minor in education. You can do a minor in management and finance, or you can do science for art students. So you see there are many different forks in the road for you to explore. Take the time, come to the program fair tomorrow, and learn a bit more about what each of these programs consists of. Most of all, keep one of your ears turned to the curriculum, your curricular obligations, and the other to the world outside of the classroom. You'll enjoy it. Wishing you fun, safe orientation and year. Thanks.
Thank you, Lucy. And now we have Professor Philip Oxhorn.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for waking everybody up for me, Lucy. I'm not very good at that, but I'll try not to put you to sleep as well. So I'm a professor of political science. I specialize in Latin American politics, and I also am the director of the Institute for the Study of International Development, which is the home of African studies, Latin American studies, and in terms of size, most importantly, the International Development Studies Program. Now, how did I get to where I'm at? Well, back in the day, a long, long time ago, we still had electricity, but not much more, I decided that I like politics. And the reason I like politics is because a lot of my friends like politics. So I went off to university. I was going to do politics, but I didn't know what about politics or even why I wanted to do politics, except that my friends studied politics. And then I started reading some stuff on Latin America, written by Latin Americans. At the time, I had to have it translated to English, but it was still written by Latin Americans trying to explain their own reality. I thought that was really cool. And some of my favorite professors also happened to work on Latin America, which is maybe why I found that literature that I found so cool. So next is graduate school, and I decided that I'm going to work on democracy, even though at the time, in the 1980s, Latin America is more known for its military regimes. And so I'm thinking, well, how do you study democracy in countries where there is no democracy? And all of a sudden, something started happening in Chile, Santiago in particular. People started protesting. And not only were they protesting for democracy, they were protesting from slums. I thought, wow, this would be really cool, too. I'll go to Latin America, I'll go to Chile, and I'll start seeing how poor people who never experienced democracy, only knew poverty and military governments, actually went about saying, no, enough is enough, we want something better. And so I did my dissertation on opposition to a military regime, Pinochet's in Chile. And then I became a professor, and I thought, well, what do I do next? Chile had a democracy now. Its transition took place in 1990, the year after I came to McGill. And I realized, and this was not unique to Chile, that people didn't like the democracy they were going to get. So that's a real important question. You struggle, you risk your life and a lot of other things to get something that when you finally win, you're not sure if you really like. And so I began to understand that this was a problem not of democracy or no democracy, but also the quality of democracy. So that led me to start studying civil society, how people tried to make the kinds of democracies that they wanted to live in real. And then after a while, I started thinking, well, what's the one group that's most marginalized in all of the world whether they're in Latin America, Africa, or Canada. And it's Aboriginal Indigenous people. And that's what I'm working on now. Now, I'm going up about this long discussion of who I am, why I'm here, to emphasize two things. First is that the ability that I had to find what I wanted to find really reflected a lot of luck, looking for opportunities, kind of trusting my instincts and running with them. But it also reflected something that's unique to a BA degree, which is the ability to think critically, the ability to teach yourself, to learn on your own, to be widely read and appreciate the value of that. And that's particularly important today because the world is changing very, very quickly. And perhaps the most important yet sometimes underappreciated skill that you get uniquely from a BA degree is this ability to adapt, to continue learning, to look for those opportunities and to seize them, to take a perspective on the world that just doesn't take everything as it appears to be or as it seems to be, but tries to go deeper and really understand what's going on and what could be better. That works really well on a lot of different levels, your personal life, but also your professional life, because it means that you're able to adapt with changes in the economy. It means you're able to adapt with changes in the workforce expectations. It makes you, as a BA, whether you're in social sciences or humanities, particularly attractive to employers who say, yeah, I like somebody who can think on their own. Now, there's something else that's important, and this is what I want to leave you with, too. It's not only what a BA degree can do for you, but it's what you with a BA degree can do for the world. And that sounds pretty big, pretty ambitious. Why not? You're McGill students. You might as well shoot for the moon. But if you think about it, all of the challenges that we face, whether they're at the local level, in the communities that they live in, at the national level, and we're having federal elections in a couple of months, or at the international level, whether or not there are technological fixes, whether or not there are scientific solutions, whether or not they're just pure and plain political and social problems, none of them will be resolved unless social sciences and the humanities play a part. You know, science can tell us how we can solve the challenges of global warming or climate change, that unless you know how to implement the policies, unless you know how to affect and help people live different lifestyles and appreciate the norms that a greener world entails, the best technology isn't going to take you very far. And I'll end with an anecdote. One of the projects that I got to work on was in the Andes, working with Native Indigenous people in the Andes, and that was a project on potatoes. And what happened is that indigenous peoples of that community came to some researchers at the National University in Bogota, and they said, look, we need some help. And this is why. Due to climate change, although they didn't necessarily realize it was because of climate change, they were being forced to put more money into fungicides and pesticides so that they can harvest their potatoes. And so what they said is, could you please help us find some better kind of potato that would need less pesticide, that would need less fungicide. And it wasn't so much the money, it was their children, because they were afraid that no matter what the advertisement said, this couldn't be good for the water, it couldn't be good for their kids. And so we assembled a team of nutritionists, of geneticists, and other people with me and a couple of other social scientists. And what did we set out to do? Well, we set out to make a better potato. And in a nutshell, what was my role? My role was to make sure that the potato the scientists came up with was the potato that people actually wanted to eat. And when I said that to the meeting where we introduced the team to the group, they applauded. And they didn't applaud because I said it really well. They applauded because in the past people had forgotten that no matter how healthy, no matter how powerful the potato might be, if no one's going to eat it, it's no good at all. And that's what we can contribute as people who study the social sciences and humanities, an understanding of what people want, an understanding of what people expect, and an understanding of how things get done at that human level, which is so essential to success in anything, from the local to the national to the international, not forgetting the personal as well. So welcome to McGill.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to take a second to say hello to our friends in Leacock 26. I hope you're not sleeping. Next up, this is our last group of speakers. I'd like to welcome Jacob and Gabriel. They're from the Arts Undergraduate Society, and they're going to come up and do a little diddly-do.
Test. Okay.
Hi, and welcome to McGill. And hello again to all of us, everyone joining us by live stream at LeCock 26. So as Isla said, we're from the Arts Undergraduate Society. My name is Jacob Greenspan. I'm serving as the president this year.
And I'm Gabriel, and I'm the VP academic for this year as well.
So you're probably wondering what the AUS is. And we're a society for all undergraduate students like yourselves that are studying either arts or in arts and science. We also serve as an umbrella organization for around 30 departmental student associations that are organized under us, specifically for students kind of studying political science or linguistics. Through funding from student fees, we represent students to McGill, organize several events throughout the year, such as Frosh, and offer tons of services.
So the lounge behind me is the AUS lounge, and it's our hub. It's the AUS is where our offices are, and you can find the lounge downstairs. It's actually right over there. And it has tons of comfortable couches. So if you guys want to procrastinate, do some studying, you guys can go there. And we also have a computer lab and a printer that will be really handy once you have to, you know, hand in that last minute paper that's due.
And every Thursday in the lounge from 5 till 8 p.m. is AWS's Bar des Arts, or BDA, where we have beers and grilled cheese for $1. It's a really great time and definitely worth checking out. Also in the lounge every weekday is the AUS Essay Center. You can come by the drop-in hours from 1 till 2, or you can make an appointment, and you can see a student volunteer who will go over your essay with you, help format it, help edit it, and hopefully bump up your mark.
Yeah, we also offer a wide variety of services, such as peer tutoring and mentoring throughout the various departmental associations that Jacob mentioned earlier. And so, for example, let's say you're in economics and you're not sure about a class you want to take, or you're unsure about your program. Well, you can contact your departmental association, and these guys will be more than happy to help you out with your choices. We also offer different services in January, such as the Work Your BA, which is, you know, a week-long series of event workshops, panels, and discussions that will really help you understand the value of your degree and will help you understand, you know, get a better idea of what you can do once you graduate. Also in January, we host Grad Fair, where we invite a wide variety of different universities, grad schools to come and, you know, sit down with you guys and talk about, you know, the programs they offer and also the kind of candidates that they would like to see. For example, last year we had universities like Carleton, we also had Georgetown, so it's definitely an event that's worth checking out.
A new program that we're offering this year is the AUS Laptop Lending Program, and as the name suggests, it's a program where we can temporarily lend you a laptop if yours got lost or stolen or if you need it for a specific thing, and it's a new program and it's a great resource too. We know all students like to eat, so the AUS has two main ways of that, and we have Snacks, which is located just outside in the Leacock lobby. It's open every weekday, and it sells coffee, food very cheaply, and you guess it sells snacks. We also rent out those tables in the Leacock lobby every day, and there's usually a samosa sale, where you can buy 3 samosas for $2. They're delicious, they're filling, and I'd say they're a defining part of the McGill experience.
Yeah, there's even a Twitter handle called Samosatopia that tracks when and where samosas are being sold, so that's just to say.
Now, I'm sure you've already heard a lot in the last few days about all that McGill has to offer and all the opportunities to get involved here. The AUS also, as you've heard, has a lot to offer, and I think one of the coolest things about this is that you can be directly a part of organizing them. And that's through AUS's governance. And so the picture behind me is AUS Council. It meets every other Wednesday evening in Leacock 232. And it's a meeting of departmental representatives and the AUS execs where we talk about what's going on in the AUS, what's going on in the wider university, figure out what to do.
Yeah, and there's also on the AUS Council, there's a wide variety of different committees that are under our different various portfolios. And so, for example, and these are committees that you guys can get involved in. So if you guys are into event planning, there's a financial management committee. There's all these different kind of activities that you guys can get involved in. And there's one particular that is tailored for you guys and that we highly, highly encourage you guys to apply for. It's called FIERCE. It's the First Year Council for Art Students. And it acts as a liaison between the AUS, so us, and the first year community that you represent. So if you guys are interested in that, we have some pamphlets that we are going to
distribute.
Yeah, distribute, and we highly encourage you guys to apply for that.
The AOS also hires dozens of students part-time every year in all sorts of positions, from cashiers to researchers to everything. So keep your eyes out for our recruitment listserv, which is going to be coming out in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
These are the AUS execs and representatives here. There's a ton of us in total. And if you ever see any of us around, please say hi, or if you have any questions, just let us know. And I realize this is a lot of information in this whole day, actually. But don't worry, you can find out everything we've talked about and a lot more on the AUS website at ausmcgill.com. And you should check your McGill inbox to read our weekly listserv.
Actually, you guys should really read those listservs. I didn't at all in first year. Actually, I only started this year to read them. But you're going to miss out on a lot of extremely valuable information if you don't. So I know it can be annoying. You receive a lot of them, but please do read them. There's so much going on that you will find out about. So, yeah, just read them.
Thanks a lot for coming to this presentation. And if you have any questions, you can find our emails on the website. And or you can come talk to us after this presentation.
Thank you. And thank you, Leacock26, our invisible friends. So that concludes our presentation. The next slide. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. I know it's really nice out and you're having lots of fun, so sitting in this big gray room is kind of sucks. But you can go outside and enjoy the sun, and apparently there's a really large smoothie too sometime later in the day. I don't know. But anyways, if you guys want to exit through the doors behind me, that would be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. There we go.
I have a problem with this, but... I can't see. I'm just going to give it one more minute. Thanks for coming. How was the tour? It was cool. Yeah, now you're in a nice air conditioning room, so we just want you to enjoy about the Faculty of Arts and Advising. My name is Nelly Viduras. I'm a faculty advisor from Arts Oasis, and thank you for coming to the faculty portion of Discover McGill. Now, what we're going to discuss today is basically the role of Arts Oasis, the opportunities that you have outside the classroom, like study away, internships, research and field studies, as well as, you know, that value of the BA degree. We're going to end with AUS, the Arts Undergraduate Society, talking about the student experience of the activities that you all will be participating. Now, before we begin the session, of course, I want to introduce to you someone who has gone through the process, and I never even knew this, but I think he actually went to McGill. Oh, you didn't? Okay. But you worked at McGill at one point, didn't you, before as a student? Oh, okay. Anyway, but let's welcome him. He's our Dean of Arts. I'm sorry, I didn't forget your name. It's Professor Meadwell. Let's welcome him.
Thanks, Nelly. Well, I'd like to welcome all of you here, and not just welcome you, but congratulate you for being here. It's an accomplishment today to be a part of the McGill entering class in the Faculty of Arts. It's a very difficult institution to get into, so well done to all of you. And I hope as well that you're having a good Frosh Week as you gear up for the start of the classroom experience. I guess this Friday is the first day of classes, right? And then we take that break and come back on Tuesday. It's a welcome to you, and congratulations on being here. I think when you leave in 3 or 4 years, as the case may be, you'll leave with great memories. I hope a circle of friends, and you'll be well prepared for the next stage in life and career and so on. I think of the Faculty of Arts as kind of the heart of the university, and it's not just a question of where it's located physically on campus, but it is a place where the social sciences and the humanities intersect. And it's a very diverse place, both in terms of students and faculty. There are roughly 7,000 students in the faculty from all over the world. Our faculty number is close to 300, and again, our faculty is drawn internationally. And I think we pride ourselves on several things in the faculty, in a sense, in part as a consequence of the diversity. But it's a place where we offer, I think, a rich learning environment for students, not just in the classroom, but beyond. And it's also a place where you'll be taught in classes by faculty members who have research programs, who have international reputations in their fields, and they do two things at once. They do really good research, and they're able to impart the results of their research in the classes that they teach for you. So it's a great combination of students and faculty. In many ways, elite students and elite faculty at the same time. The classroom experience is going to be an essential part of what you go through here. But I want to draw your attention to all the other opportunities you'll have at McGill. And I'm not speaking about life outside McGill in Montreal, but the chance to do internships, the chance to do work on research projects with professors in terms of their research, the chance to do exchange programs, And, of course, there's a wide range of other kinds of social activities that will draw you into associations and groups of various kinds. So I'm pleased to see you all here, and I wish you the very best. It's going to be an exciting experience, and you'll leave, well-prepared, and as I started, with memories and friends. Thank you.
I'm just going to try to see if I can do the slide. Yeah, okay, it worked. I'm really bad with computers, so that's okay. So, like I said, I'm from Arts Oasis, and it's the Office of Advising and Student Information Services. So when you're going to be thinking of advising, you think of Oasis. When it comes to registration or any forms you need to drop off, it's Service Point. So registration, Service Point, advising, Oasis. Now, our role at Arts Oasis is really to help you through the degree planning process. Now, some of you are from high school, some of you are from CEGIP. So when you're coming in, it's a big transition. It's different from what you remember. Remember, it's 13 weeks of classes. It's not like how you used to be in high school where you had the whole semester. So we're going to help you plan out that. You know, so by the sixth week, you're writing midterms. By the 13th week, you're going into finals. So we're going to talk about course load issues and everything else. Now, our Associate Dean of Arts, who wasn't able to be here at this moment, she had to leave. Her mandate in Arts Oasis is for every student to fill out a worksheet, a degree planning worksheet. And next to it, there's a degree planning tool. And what we want you to do is start planning out your degree. Obviously, we don't expect you to have it planned out for the rest of your 3 or 4 year studies here at McGill. It's ongoing. It keeps changing. But it's a tool that gets you to do some research about the BA degree and its requirements. Now, the types of advising that we have in the Faculty of Arts are faculty advisors, and I'm one of them. We're 4 faculty advisors, and from what I understand, we're about 8,000 undergraduate students. The numbers are humongous, we know. So in a way, we don't designate advisors to our students. The way we approach it is that we also have other people that work at the counter at Dawson Hall, and they are advisors, and they're also more specialized, so they can help you at the counter with a lot of prescriptive information. The advisors that work at the counters are specialized in study away. For students who are in the freshman program, they can help advise you on your freshman program requirements. For students who are for career, if you're thinking about what you can do with your BA degree, we have also an advisor that does career advising. So we do have, that's another type of advising we have, and they're more frontline. Now, the best advising that we have, and that's something that's under my portfolio, is our peer advisors, and they're called the ASAPs. The Art Student Advising Program, and they are more front line. They are the students that you see when you come to the counter. They're wearing the red shirts. They work all year round, and in the summertime, you probably had come across them in some way when you were communicating with our office. They answer emails, they do chats, they answer phone calls, and they do the counter. Right now, because we're busy at Dawson Hall, they're triaging the line. So what they do is they actually go in front of the counter, and they introduce themselves, and they ask you why you're here. They're trained very well. They can actually, if you are at the wrong place, they'll direct you to the right place. You might think that, you know, your history advisors is at Dawson Hall, but really it's somewhere else. The ASAP will be able to explain that to you. Now, we do have 2 ASAPs that are here. Chris, where are you? Oh, he's over there. He can stand up. He was actually helping us out in front. You met him when he came. And we also have Beth, who's in ASAP. Say hi to Beth. So these are the people that you're front line that you'll meet all the time. Oh, I did the other one. You see? I'm not good. Try again. Dawson Hall. Okay, there you go. Dawson Hall, where are we located? Like, we all know where the Arts Building is, right? If you're coming from McGill College, it's the center building with the flag. Dawson Hall is right to the left-hand side. That's where we're located. So if you just enter Dawson Hall, you'll see the counter, and that's where you can see an advisor during a drop-in hours. We're open from 10 to 4. We also can communicate by email if you need to send an email to an advisor. You can call. All that information is on our website, but we also have our social media tools, which is handled by our ASAPs. And the ASAPs are on Facebook and Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter. We've been promoting a lot of the... I did it again. The advising fair that you're going to attend. I just wanted to bring to your attention the guide for new students. Now, this was an attachment that was sent out to your preferred email addresses. Did you all get it? You must have, right? And it was a very helpful tool. It explained everything you needed to know before you came to McGill to the time you come here. So it has all the information about orientation, registration, and advising. And Nala Astrone, who's our ASAP coordinator, worked on it in May. Let's give her a hand. She was an angel all summer because she worked hard on this guide. It's from a student perspective, but she also helped me organize CSI, Discover McGill, and the program fair. I can be up here and explain to you about all the rules and regulations, how the BA degree works, but I know you won't be able to, grasp it. So all that information you need is on the guide. If you accidentally did delete this attachment, you can find it on our homepage. The Arts Departmental Advising Fair. Now, this is going to be an event that we have tomorrow. It's at the SMU building, the ballroom on the third floor from 1 to 3. And we've invited the departments as well as the student associations to be at one place where you can go and get information about your program. Even if you're a freshman student, it's a good idea. You probably have questions because you're thinking about what am I going to major, and it's a good thing. And it's also a very good idea for U1 students. It's at one place from 1 to 3. A lot of the departments also have their information sessions that you should attend, so try to go tomorrow as well. I'm going to be wrapping up just as a reminder. Friday is the first day of classes, and it goes by the Monday schedule. So when you wake up, treat it as a Monday, not a Friday, because it's Labor Day on Monday, so we have a break for 3 days, and then we can go to your Tuesday classes. Oops, okay. So I think that's all I can say right now. I just wanted to welcome everybody again. Congratulations. From my experience, I actually graduated from McGill. Yes, it was a long time ago. Things have changed, but I do know that that's feeling a bit overwhelmed your first few days of classes. It does get better. I think the trick to just surviving or hoping that overwhelm will go away is to make one contact on campus. If it's not at Oasis, it will be at Service Point. If you have questions, just go and ask them. Try to seek all those resources, but it does get better. Thank you. Bye.
So I'm Isla, and I helped organize this, I guess, and created the guide that hopefully two of you read. Maybe more of you will by the end of this. But I would like to invite up the student panelists for the academic opportunities outside of the classroom discussion. They're going to talk about some wonderful things. We have Antoine, who's going to be talking about internships. Tiger, who's going to be talking about the Research Internship Award. Beth, who's going to be talking about field studies. And Demi, talking about study away.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm Antoine. I'm the Arts Internship Office Coordinator, but I also used to be a McGill student. I graduated in International Development Studies and Political Science. So today I'm going to talk to you about internships, how you can find these opportunities, what we at the office can do to help you find them and also fund them, and a bit about how you can go and get some academic credit for the internships. So you may have heard the word internships, read some articles, but what is an actual internship? For us, it's considered something that's a short work experience in the field of study that you've chosen. So it's usually 2 or 3 months, usually during the summer, and you're really working on the field and taking what you've learned in the classroom, applying it to the real world. A lot of people will take an internship in order to find out if that's what they want to do later. So you've always thought about a certain job, you get an internship in that type of company, and you figure it out. Or you want to gain some experience, maybe some language skills or some more technical skills like statistical research or other types of work skills by working in that field. Some people are also interested in certain regions, so they want to work with an NGO, for example, in Western Africa, in Asia, or in Latin America. And finally, you can also do it for really professional reasons in order to network and kind of stay at one place and hope to get a job there the next time. So there's all sorts of good reasons to do internships, and we're there to help you find some. We have different internship opportunities that we offer every year that you can apply to, and you can meet students that just did it in order to get some advice. But we're also there to help students find their own internship opportunity. For example, I got here to McGill, and I already had an idea of what I wanted to do. In my second year, I went to see the office, and I told them about my project. It was an NGO I was working with in Peru in a shanty town, and I was going to go there for 3 months and try to help out with their educational program. Well, the person at the office helped me find some funding, and I was able to get an internship office award that helped fund my time over in Peru. So these awards are really helpful, and we give a bunch of out each year, and it's basically to help you reach your objectives. It's going to help cover the costs of your internship. So no matter what you think, you know, I want to do an internship in Cambodia, but the plane ticket is super expensive, or even in New York City where we know the living costs are going up, you can apply to an award and try to get some funding in order to help you achieve that. For me, the award just helped cover my flight costs, my daily expenses. I was able to worry about working every day and not how much I had left in my bank account, which wasn't that much, though. We can also help you with academic credit. What do you do when you're done with your internship and you want to take it a bit further? For me, I worked with Professor Oxhorn, who's here in this room, and it really allowed me to focus on what I had learned. When you're going to do your internship, you're going to learn so much. You're going to be active every day, but you're going to be very busy. Tasks, meetings, presentation, activities. And then you come back after 3 months going, wow, I learned so much, but how do I put this all together? I was really interested in social organization of the communities in the shanty towns, so I worked with the professor, and during a whole semester, I wrote a research paper that was supervised by a professor, and I got a grade for it, and it allowed me to put on paper what I had learned, as well as get more research and closer to a professor. We can help you with information about that. And basically, our office is on the third floor of Leacock, so anytime you're interested, you can swing by, get some information. We have flexible drop-in hours, 2 to 4 every day, and we're going to have an event on September 17th, our biggest event, the annual event, where you can see everyone that just got back, the award recipients, people where they've been, talk to them and learn from their experience, and maybe try to do the same internship that they did. I'm going to be at the fair as well. So anyone interested in doing an internship, if you already have an idea or you have no idea at all, we can help you, and I suggest you come into the office, get some experience, because it's really something that will bring your arts degree to the next level. Now, we have another type of internship, which is the research internship. It's called the ARIA Program, Arts Research Internship Award. We give you an award so that you can work on the research of a professor here at McGill and become their intern. And for that, I'm going to pass it to a former ARIA recipient, Tiger Zhang.
Hey, guys. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the Arts Research Internship Award. Yes, I'm going to admit it's not as exciting as going to different places, but I promise Montreal is a lovely city in the summer. That's the word I'm looking for. So my name's Tiger. So I'm going into my fifth and last year in the Honors Philosophy Program. Shameless plug, we'll be at the department fair tomorrow. So I actually started off with ARIA in a little bit of a roundabout way. On top of the ARIA, there's also something called the Arts Undergraduate Research Event that happens every February or so, where arts undergraduates can actually showcase their research. So prior to that, this was 3 years ago, weird, I did a work term at the Hospital for Sick Children. Now, I didn't realize until after that that I actually could have applied for an arts internship award, but actually from that, I learned about the ARIA from Antoine and then spoke to a professor. But I think the best part about the ARIA is that what it actually allows you to do after. So I've been working with Professor Kimmelman over at the Biomedical Ethics Unit for almost a full year and a half now. And when you develop a professional relationship with a professor in research, since they're in the city, it actually doesn't end there. Since then, I actually am a co-author on some manuscripts. It's helped me a ton in getting into grad schools. And quite frankly, the working conditions are great. Certainly something you'll have to work out with your professor, but I have very flexible working hours. you'll probably see me at cafes sometime in the year if you're that type of person. Do a lot of work there. Maybe bars, maybe. It's a fantastic experience. If you're considering academia, research, anything of that sort, I would honestly urge you to apply for the ARIA, because it never hurts to get paid to learn.
Hi, everyone. So my name is Beth Ludenberger, and I'm going into my fourth and final year as an undergraduate at McGill. I'm studying a major in sociology and minors in Indigenous studies, political theory, and women's studies. So during this year, I decided to apply and enroll in IDFC 500, which is an Aboriginal Field Studies course offered by the McGill Faculty of Arts. It's an interdisciplinary course, which means it's offered to students in anthropology, Indigenous studies, law, social work, and medicine. I decided to take the course originally because it contributed to my Indigenous Studies minor, but I also thought that engaging in field studies would allow me to broaden my worldviews and like how I approach the problems and like thinking about issues. So the Aboriginal Field Studies course is an intensive course occurring every year in May. It's designed to emphasize the interaction of multidisciplinary approaches when trying to understand Indigenous histories, knowledges, cultures, and worldviews, as well as the ways in which the Canadian policies here have historically and contemporarily affected Aboriginal societies. So the class spent a total of 3 weeks on McGill campus. We did like literature review, briefing sessions, and then a week after the field study for debriefing sessions. And for the field study, we spent a week camping on Ganawage Mohawk territory, which is an Indigenous reserve located right off the island of Montreal. During the week of field study, as a class, members of the community visited us, and they talked about their experiences and their knowledge living in Ganawage. In addition, we visited several different services in the community in order to gain a deeper understanding about the varying approaches that community members take for the services they provide. So, for example, the challenges inherent in bridging the gap between traditional ways and modern ways in their services, as well as questions of total sovereignty. In terms of what I gained from the field studies experience, I found that by studying and interacting with the individuals in the field, I was able to gain a deeper understanding of the historical and cultural significance of certain traditions and customs held by the Ganyangahaga, or Mohawk people. My experience studying in the field helped me to take all my knowledge from an academic background at McGill and apply it and connect it to the real-life experiences of Indigenous peoples in North America. One major example of this for my field studies was talking to community members about their first-hand experiences with the Oka crisis in 1990 and the tensions surrounding it, many of which for community members were profoundly affected by it. So, overall, I believe there's value in different kinds of knowledge and different kinds of academic experiences. And I think that reading or learning about something in a classroom is very different from being able to see or feel it firsthand or to talk to those who have seen or felt these things firsthand. I wholeheartedly recommend field study experiences. They not only serve as a valuable study opportunity, but they allow individuals to take the concepts that you explore in a classroom and apply it to real-world environments, which emphasizes the connection between ideas and practical realities and promotes a much deeper understanding of the topic. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Demi. I'm a U4 student entering, and I'm studying psychology and anthropology. I'm going to be speaking to you about independent study away and exchanges. An independent study away is the opportunity to study at another university in the world, anywhere in the world, and you pay their tuition fees and earn credit for McGill. An exchange is to study away among McGill's partner universities while paying McGill tuition fees and earning credits at McGill. Choosing to go abroad can be either 1 or 2 semesters long. The opportunity to experience a trip where one dives into a new way of life is such a special gift that undergraduate students are offered. I took this wonderful opportunity in my U2 winter semester to go on exchange at the University of Melbourne in Australia. Although I could spend the whole day talking to you about my trip, I want to instead share with you all the common things that students who go abroad achieve. Within each unique experience, going abroad is a process of stepping out of your comfort zone to encounter and undergo a new culture, a new way of doing things, a new way of learning, a new way of thinking, and most importantly, a new way of being. To be taught at a different university allows for a deeper appreciation and new perspectives on your fields of study, your teachers, and your educational curriculum. To explore in a different country allows you to find out about new interests, to meet new people, and to make lifelong friends from various places around the world. Allowing yourself to take and accept such a challenge to study abroad brings forth a deep personal growth, which remains with you and which enhances your skills of being a well-rounded citizen in our globalized society. If you're ready to take the leap, be attentive and be proactive to all the resources McGill has to offer. Don't be scared to ask questions, and don't be shy to reach out and connect with your fellow McGillians. These were my first steps to successfully completing my semester abroad and achieving a greatly cherished and valued experience of a lifetime. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. And I'm sure if you guys have any questions for them about the topics that they covered, they'll probably be hanging around after the presentation to answer some of those. So in the next part of orientation, we're going to talk about the value of a BA degree. So I would like to invite up some of our faculty staff. We have Professor Philip Oxhorn, who's going to be speaking, and our Associate Dean, Lucy Locke, who unfortunately is not here to speak to you today. So yes, and also Professor Hudson Meadwell, who you heard from before. He's going to be speaking again. So if you could please come up. So first up, I guess we would like to have Professor Hudson Meadwell. Is that okay with you?
I'm going to turn the floor over to Professor Oxhorn.
Okay.
I'll introduce him. And if he doesn't cover everything, but I'm sure he will, I might add some thoughts at the end. Mm-hmm. But Professor Oxhorn teaches in the Department of Political Science, and he's the founding director of the McGill Institute for the Study of International Development.
Yeah.
So he's well placed, so to speak, to say a few things about the value of a BA today. Thanks.
Thanks, Hudson. So congratulations on coming to McGill. I think you're in for a really exciting experience. And it's exciting for a lot of different reasons, including the novelty of it all. But part of what the reason that it's exciting or should be is the opportunities that having a BA degree will open up for you. I mean, my own personal background, way back and a long time ago, I went to university, I got a BA. I studied politics, not really knowing why I wanted to do that, except that my friends were. And when I got to the university, I read some literature on Latin America written by Latin Americans, and I realized that the way they were interpreting their own reality was really kind of interesting. And some of my favorite professors also taught on Latin American politics. Then I went on to get a PhD degree, and what I decided to study was participation. And I wanted to do it in Latin America, but at that time in the 1980s, most of Latin America had dictatorships. And so how do you study participation in a country where you're not allowed to participate? And then something really interesting happened. People started protesting in Chile for a transition to democracy. And I thought, this is what I want to study. And I also wanted to study it because it wasn't just any old group of people that were protesting. It was poor people living in slums. And then after studying that and writing a book on the transition to democracy in Chile, what I discovered, not only in Chile but elsewhere, is that people who had struggled and risked a lot, including their lives, for democracy, didn't necessarily like the regimes they ended up with. And so I worked on trying to understand why. And what I discovered was it wasn't democracy or dictatorship, but it was the quality of democracy, the space and the opportunities that it gave people. Now, I'm recounting this in part just to explain that one of the values of a BA regime, a BA degree, bureaucratic, you know, the jargon, it really gets imprinted in your brain. One of the advantages of a BA degree is flexibility. aside from old age sclerosis, what it allows you to do is adapt, to go with the flow, to approach life in terms of what opportunities were, to learn how to seize those opportunities. And there are two reasons why BA degrees are particularly useful for that. One is that you learn how to learn on your own. What we try and teach you is the ability to go out and learn about things because you know how to. The other reinforcing element is that we try and give you a critical perspective on the world. So rather than take things as they appear, you ask, why are they the way they are? How could they be better? What is really going on? It doesn't matter if you're in the social sciences or the humanities. It's this critical dimension that makes it particularly important for you as people with degrees in bachelors of arts to be able to go out into the world and adapt, to seize the opportunities in a changing society, in a changing environment, in a changing economy. So at a personal level, what BA degrees allow you to do is go, kind of adapt and take advantage of the opportunities as they arise, learning how to teach yourself so that you can grow over time and take advantage of those opportunities in a rapidly changing world. But in addition to what a BA degree does for you, it's what a BA degree does for society. I mean, if you think about it, we might as well think about the most grandiose interpretation of what I'm about to say, because you are McGill students now. If you think about it, all of the challenges that we face at a personal level, at a social level, at an economic level, at an environmental level, at a political level, they all involve understanding people's societies, their preferences, their values, their norms, their culture, the way they live. And without that deep understanding that comes from the social sciences and the humanities, we're not going to make the world a better place, much less solve some of the pressing problems that the world is facing on a daily basis. And by that, what I mean is that, you know, technology is very important. We have the, or we could have the technology for solving, for example, the problems and challenges of global climate change. There are a lot of other things where the technical solutions might be quite apparent, in fact. The problem is that unless people adapt them or adopt them, unless they work for real people, unless you understand the political processes that get those changes actually implemented into law and enforced, nothing's going to happen. And what BA degrees are supposed to do, and I think you'll agree 3 years or 4 years from now that this is what we've done, is it gives you the understanding and the capacity to go out and begin to make that difference, to make that contribution. And I'll end with one quick anecdote. One of the projects I worked on recently was to make a better potato for a small group of Andean indigenous people in Colombia. And the project began when people came to a group of scientists, of nutritionists and biological scientists, and they said, look, because of a variety of factors which ultimately related to global climate change, they had to spend more and more resources on pesticides and fungicides to be able to harvest a crop of potatoes. And they were worried. They said, whatever the marketers say, we're really afraid to put so many chemicals onto our crops because we don't know what it's going to do to our kids. So I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a geneticist. What was my role? My role, to kind of sum it up really quickly, was to make sure that the potatoes the scientists developed were actually potatoes that people wanted to eat. The right color, the right taste, the right texture, the right size. And when our team met with the Andean group in the beginning and I said, that's my role, they almost applauded. And the reason that they almost applauded was very simple. They were afraid, in the past this had been the case, that in the effort to make the best potato possible, people forgot that people needed to eat that potato, otherwise it was not going to go anywhere. And so the point is that unless you understand what people want, why they want it, what their values are, how they live, then many of the challenges that you face nationally, but also personally and internationally, cannot be solved. And what BA degrees are deliberately intended to do is give you the skills and the appreciation of exactly that. So again, welcome to McGill. I know you're in for an exciting couple of years.
I told you Professor Oxhorn would cover everything. He did. Let me just add a couple of comments to wrap it up. One is that as interim dean, I get to meet a lot of alumni, a lot of grads, going back, you know, recent grads and less recent. And you find McGill BA grads in everything, entrepreneurs, activists, they're in the arts, they're in business, they're in government at all levels, they're in international organizations, they're in NGOs, and, you know, they all do very well, and they're in careers and lives that they value and appreciate. And many times the fit or the match is unexpected. I mean, there are philosophers who are doing very well in the banking sector in New York, for example. So what you leave with is, you know, a set of fundamental basic skills in terms of interpreting texts, interpreting societies, understanding others, a sense of empathy. You leave as well with a set of critical skills in terms of analyzing documents and data. Things like that will carry you a long way. You will leave as well with you know, sophisticated writing skills and communication skills. And with that, you will also leave with some specialized knowledge in the fields you choose. And the combination is really good. And in terms of the specialized knowledge that you will leave with in terms of majors and minors, I just encourage you to not be too narrow. To look around the faculty, it's a wonderfully diverse place, and there's lots of different things to do, and try and engage as much of it intellectually and socially as you can. I also encourage you to kind of follow your instincts, you know, your heart. It's difficult to calculate a way by which you will leave with the right kind of degree that's going to put you in a particular kind of niche. And, you know, choose courses and programs along those kinds of lines. Find what interests you and pursue it. And, you know, if you find something that interests you and you work hard, you will leave and it will be fantastic. Okay? Thanks.
Thank you very much. And finally, I would like to invite up a student society, your student society, actually. It's the Arts Undergraduate Society, and we have Jacob and Gabriel here, and they're going to take the mic and speak to you about what they can do for you. So give them a big round of applause.
Hello. And welcome to McGill, and hello also to all of those joining us by live stream in LeCock 26. As Alice said, we're from the Arts Undergraduate Society. My name is Jacob Greenspan. I'm serving as president this year.
And I'm Gabriel. I'm the VP Academic.
So what is the AUS? That's a good question. We're a society for all undergraduate students like yourselves that are studying either arts or in arts and science. We also serve as an umbrella organization for around 30 departmental student associations that are organized under us. Which are specifically for students just in political science or linguistics or whichever major. Through funding from student fees, we represent students on McGill committees. We organize several events through the year, such as Frosh, and we offer a ton of services.
And so you see here the picture that's right behind me. That's the AUS lounge. That's our hub. That's where our offices are located. But it's also a place for you guys to come. We have a bunch of nice couches that we actually cleaned for the first time this year. In like 5 or 6 years, and you guys can come in, you know, procrastinate, do some homework, you know, just hang out with your friends. There's also a computer lounge there and a printer, and you know that printer will come in handy once you have to pen that one, you know, that last minute paper that's due. So yeah, we highly encourage you guys to come there, and yeah.
And an especially good time to come is every Thursday from 5 till 8. It's when we have our bar dessert or BDA, and we have beers and we have grilled cheese, and they're all $1. And it's a great time. It's definitely worth checking out and meeting some other art students. Also in the lounge is the AUS Essay Center. It's every weekday. And you can do drop-in hours from 1 to 2, or you can make an appointment. And you'll meet with a student volunteer, and they'll go over your essay with you, help you with formatting, editing, and hopefully they'll bump your mark up a little.
Yeah, and we also offer a bunch of different services. For example, peer tutoring and mentoring through the various, you know, departmental associations that Jacob talked about. So let's say you're an economics major, but you're really not sure about the classes that you need to take, or you know, you need some advice about, you know, a class. or something, well, you know, you can always get into contact with those resources, those tutors or students that have been in the same situation as you guys will be, and they will, you know, they'll be more than happy to help you out and help you figure out what you guys want to do. I'm going to talk about two events that we also hold in January, the first one being Work Your BA. That's a week-long event full of panels, of discussions, of, you know, workshops, and it'll really, it's there to help you figure out how much your, you know, the value of your BA. And it's also, it's going to help you out figure out where you can, what you can do with your BA after you graduate. The second event that we hold is called Grad Fair, and every year we, in the SMU Ballroom, the SMU building is, actually I'm not, just, it's right outside, but yeah, in the SMU Ballroom we invite a bunch of different universities to come and sit down with you guys, and they'll tell you about the different programs that they hold, but also, you know, what kind of candidates they expect you, you know, they want to recruit. So last year, for example, we had, you know, Carleton University, we had UFT, we had Georgetown as well. So a bunch of really, a wide variety of universities are there, and we highly encourage you guys to go.
A new program the U.S. is running this year is the Laptop Lending Program, as the name suggests. We lend laptops to you if you've got yours lost or stolen or just need one for something specific. And it's still getting up off the ground, but it's going to be a great resource if for those in need. We also know all students like to eat. So the AUS runs a small counter called Snacks, which is just in that lobby, just over to the left, which sells very cheap coffee, sells some food, and as you guessed by the name, snacks. And that's open all weekdays. We also rent out, there's three tables in the lobby just outside, and there's usually a samosa sale there every single day, and you can buy three samosas for $2. They're delicious, they're very filling, and I'd say they're a defining part of the McGill experience.
Yeah, there's even a Twitter handle called Samosatopia that will track when and where samosas are being sold around McGill. So that's just to say.
I'm sure you've already heard about a lot of the opportunities to get involved here and all about McGill has to offer. The AUS also has a lot to offer, too, as you've heard. And I think one of the coolest things about what the AUS does is that you can be directly part of organizing the events and services that we do offer. And that's through the AUS's governance.
So picture behind me is the AUS Council. We meet every two Wednesdays, so twice per month. And it's where Jacob and I and the other AUS executives, as well as representatives from, you know, all the different departments of associations, we meet and we talk about the recent matters that affects all our students, but also our relationship, you know, with the administration, and if, you know, big events like scary strikes or stuff like that are happening, well, it's we're there to discuss and figure out solutions to different problems. And also on that AUS council, we have a bunch of different committees that are under the different executives. So for example, we have event planning committees, we have financial management committees. So if you guys are interested in, you know, joining and helping us out with those different tasks that we're mandated to do, well, we invite you to apply, and you know, you're guaranteed a good experience and a really good time. And actually one of those committees that is particularly relevant for you guys is called FIERCE, and it's the first year council for our students. And it's sort of it acts as a liaison between the AUS and the first year community that you guys represent. So we will be handing out pamphlets are going to be handed out later, or I don't know if they're being handed out right now. But you know, we highly encourage you guys to apply, and hopefully we'll see you there.
And the AUS also hires dozens of students part-time every year. So if you want some good experience, if you want some extra cash, we hire students from every position, from cashiers to researchers to all other sorts of kind of like tutors. There's tons of opportunities to get involved. So keep your eye out for our recruitment listserv. It's going on in the next couple of days. And these are the AUS executives just behind me and the arts representatives. There's 10 of us in total. We all have a different portfolio of things that we kind of keep our attention to. And if you ever see any of us around, please say hi.
Yeah, so we realize that we've given you a lot of information, and you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's still so much more that we offer. But you guys have a couple of years ahead to really get a hang of everything that we provide. But yeah, we highly encourage you guys to check out our website. It's really simple. It's www.ausmcgill.com, A-U-S-A-U-S. And and we also send out a weekly listserv every week, and where we provide, you know, we give you information of all the up-and-coming opportunities, you know, jobs that you can get. So we highly encourage you guys to take a look at that as well.
Thanks a lot for coming to this presentation. And if you ever have any questions, you can find our emails on the website, and or you can just come down and talk to us after the presentation is done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I was on Fierce, and it was really great for me. It opened a lot of doors, so I would highly recommend if you want to get involved with AUS or student governance, then do it. Okay, so I know that was a while, and maybe your bums are getting a little numb. So thankfully, if the slide goes, which it did, we've reached the end. So thank you. Thank you. Enjoy the nice day outside. And thank you to our wonderful IT team. We have Jamie over there. Give him a round of applause, please. And do good.